Here's what's coming up on today's show.
Not that the decisions are necessarily irreversible.
Right, but
it's more that the time frame to effectively get it or qualify for it passes.
When it comes to your finances, you don't want to be at a disadvantage. Tim Dyer can help. He's a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management, and he can be that financial coach that helps you achieve your goals in retirement. This is Retirement Power Play.
Hello and welcome back into the Retirement Power Play podcast. I'm Ben George. He's Tim Dyer. He is a wealth manager specializing in retirement planning and investment management. And Tim, I know we're a sports show, obviously, by the title. We both care about sports. We enjoy it. So I don't know how much you've been following college football. I know you have a lot of activities there on the West Coast that you get outdoors and enjoy that. So I don't know how much you sit inside on a Saturday. But there was one of the big moments so far this year. We've already had one head coach fired, one prominent head coach at Nebraska fired. Two games into the season, okay? Well, mainly because decision-making, right? One of the first games of the year, he's up by 11 points, has momentum on his side, decides he wants to kick an onside kick. Third quarter, team's up, just scored a touchdown, all the momentum. Well, of course, the other team recovers it, goes on to score a touchdown in just a couple of minutes. Momentum's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Quarter later, they're heading home with a loss. And everybody points to that one decision as kind of being the big moment in that game. But it was an irreversible decision that he had. Look, he thought about it. He thought this is a good time to maybe try to implement this. Nobody else probably agreed with that. But in his mind, that was a decision he made. But now he's living with the consequences, right? It's an irreversible decision he made in the moment that did not play out correctly, which is interesting. And it's one of the big storylines of the season. But it got me thinking about what we're going to talk about today and irreversible decisions when it comes to finance. Because we know, we talk about all the time, you know, this is a fluid process. You're always working, changing, assessing, evaluating. But there are some things that you have to get right the first time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first of all, you're in the penalty box because, yes, we're a sports-related show, but we're predominantly ice hockey.
Okay.
It's the Retirement Power Play. No, I'm just joking. I did not see that game, and I can only imagine what the coach thought after kicking that onside kick and seeing the other team advance it kind of right away. And what should have been a wider lead, now all of a sudden it's a close game again, right?
Yeah.
Did they score on the actual onside kick, or did it just
nope,
take a
they recovered, and it was probably just minutes later, though.
Yeah, because they got short field position, right?
Exactly.
So maybe the thought was that would catch the other team off guard because it's such an unusual thing to do there. But yeah, to your point, there are many financial decisions that pop up on people, and without careful planning, some of these are irreversible. We're going to talk about a couple of the big ones here today, but the list is long. And so, you know, you always want to be kind of working on the things that you know, the decisions that you need to make, but also you need to be kind of researching the things that you know you don't know, along with obviously the things you don't know you don't know. But let's get into our first one here.
Okay.
Social Security, big topic, right? We do live events, seminars and things like that just on this topic alone. But when to start Social Security? Here's an interesting, I got to give you a little side tip. Do you know Social Security came out in 1935, and the first paycheck was to age 65. That's when you received the benefit. Do you know what the life expectancy was people in 1935, Ben?
I'm guessing it's probably much younger than it is today, 70.
It was 62.
62, wow.
So basically, you know, Social Security was there as a means for, it was almost like de facto long-term care insurance. It was for the people that, kind of lived a little bit longer. And it was, and you had 30 people paying in and one person taking out. So it was a very robust platform when it came out. It was doing what it intended to do. Now let's bring it back to what we're talking about here. You see, now we hear this a lot, you know, take your Social Security, get it while the getting's good, you know, 62, start using it now. It might not be around. And I would argue that that is not the case. Now, everybody's different. Got to put full disclosure. But really, the thing about Social Security is we look at a number, an age, if you will, it's called full retirement age. It's a little bit misleading because full retirement age, you might see it, FRA, is the age at which you receive not necessarily your maximum benefit, but your full benefit, okay? Now, if you, and that's age 66, it just moved for people born after, what was 1959? I got to look that up. But so what happens is if you take it earlier, you get your full retirement amount at a discount, okay? If you wait and you take it after full retirement age, it accrues at, it, or it increases that amount by about 8% per year up until age 70, and that's when it maxes out. So a lot of times people get confused. They think that full retirement age is the most that they can get, whereas their max, which at right now is age 70. Now, there's math that goes with that. Of course, if you start taking at 62 versus, say, 66, you're getting 4 or 5 years of payments before the other one even kicks in. So there's some additional value up front on that. But hey, this isn't 1935. We're not living to 62 anymore, right? Life expectancy is late 80s, you know, mid to late 80s now, and going up. So we need to prepare the fact that we're living longer. And with that said, sometimes waiting a few extra years to make sure that, you know, we're living these longer lives, we have that higher payout, there's a crossover point where it makes sense to actually delay. Now, again, this is absolutely on a case-by-case basis because everybody's financial situation is different. But Social Security is a big one. Once you make that decision, you know, it's irreversible. And so you just want to do what we call Social Security optimization or maximization, figuring out what scenario is best for you. And it's, if you have a spouse, you know, how that plays into things. So that's the first one. The second one that we see a lot is people that are retiring from a company. In some cases, they have a pension. Now, this is less so now than it was historically, but companies that offer a pension, they offer a lump sum payout, or they offer monthly income, you know, guaranteed payments for life. Now, with that decision, there's for the life of the employee, right? Or there's what's called with survivor benefits. So that would be for the life of the employee, and if something were to happen to him, it continues on for the spouse for their life. Now, if you're going to get payments for life for two people, the payments are going to be less than if you get it for one person. But when you make that decision, it's irreversible, right? And there, it might make sense to make sure that you've got those payments because you got to get two people through retirement, okay?
Right.
So electing spousal benefits on your pension is a big one. And once that ship sails, you can't change it, okay?
Okay.
Let's see, other financial decisions, you know, I can think of off the top of my head is getting life insurance.
Okay.
Right? Life insurance is one of those things that, you know, the second you say the word, people either kind of turn around and walk the other direction or they change the topic to something else. And look, I understand. It's not the most exciting topic. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about it. It's just a tool. But we as humans, we all know that at some point we pass on. We don't like to spend a lot of time thinking about that, which is understandable. But we never think that it's going to happen earlier than it might. Okay, you know, knock on wood, we can avoid that issue. But life insurance is something that allows us to protect our loved ones. So I've got two young boys, as you know, they're almost four and almost two, and actually 4 and 1.5. I don't want to. Can't let them grow up too quick, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I've got a fair amount of term insurance where, you know, while I'm in my peak earning years, if you will, I'm able to work a full schedule, you know, this type of thing. If something were to happen to me, I've got to replace all that future income and figured out what that would be, and you know, we kind of go from there. But the thing about insurance is the longer you wait to get it, the more expensive it becomes, right? Because you know, every day we're sort of closer to the day that we pass on. And so getting life insurance is something that there's multiple reasons to do it, right? There's to protect our family, our loved ones, but there's also retirement aspects of it. Insurance can be used to create tax-free income. That's a whole nother conversation. A third reason is, you know, we use it to transfer assets at death to, you know, to essentially create a legacy. Now, whether that's for our immediate family, our spouse, you know, maybe it's coworkers in a business, what we call a buy-sell agreement, but maybe it's to a charity. You know, life insurance allows us to transfer money in a way that's very efficient. And in a lot of cases, you can do it for pennies on the dollar, right? It costs you, you know, less money than you're putting in that comes out. And in most cases, it's completely tax-free. And so, you know, it's one of the areas that is often overlooked. And not that the decisions are necessarily irreversible, right? But it's more that the time frame to effectively get it or qualify for it passes. You might be a healthy person at 45. You might be a very unhealthy person at 46 and not expect it. Now you no longer have the option to get life insurance because of your health, you know, your health situation. So, you know, a lot of people tend to meet halfway. You know, they may get a little less than what they think they need, or they may get a little less estate planning than they think they need. I think the key takeaway is to start somewhere. I mean, there's no law that says you have to have any of it. But you need to be aware of what it's used for and how the older you get, the more difficult it is to repair or replace things that might be needed, and in a lot of cases are needed later in the future. So
makes a lot of sense.
That's all I have to say about that one. You know, irreversible decisions, you could argue that retirement date is another one. Okay, so I've got a couple things to say about this. First is, nobody says when you retire that that's all she wrote. In fact, I on another episode, we talked about my father, who is sort of living the life now, working as a kayak guide on a cruise ship, right? He's not doing that anymore, but you can still have income, or the new term out there is a side hustle. Maybe there's a way to make money doing some consulting or something that you enjoy doing. But the point here is that if you don't have a well-conceived plan in place, you could end up walking away from your paycheck earlier than you should, right? It may be difficult to get back into the workforce after the fact. You know, on a personal note, my mother-in-law is a very accomplished HR executive, and she's had some very, very big roles at different companies out here on the West Coast. And, you know, we were talking, she's sort of in between, you know, by choice, in between some different employers, and she's talking about what the interview process is like. Almost all of them are on Zoom, you know, and she says when she gets on there, and she's in her early 60s, the recruiter is she can almost sense right away that based on her age, that they're not interested. And you know, there's things to that. But the point is that to getting a job in our 30s and 40s with the skills that we have may not be that difficult a thing, but it isn't as easy as you get older. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. In fact, I think you can get a lot of qualified help out there. Or there's a lot of qualified people out there that are willing to work that are older. But for whatever reason, you know, companies just have a bias towards the younger. Maybe it's they're thinking they're going to be, because they're less qualified, the younger people, they can pay them less. I don't know. But I think it's something that when you take the leap, you want to have a good, solid plan ahead of time that says, you know, if I want to go back to work, it's because I choose to. And if I don't, or I can't for some reason, then I've got a contingency plan. My plan still holds water and I can still live off, you know, the income that I need for the rest of my life.
Well, those are all obviously very important, and they do kind of tie into that whole idea of these irreversible decisions. And I guess these aren't the only things that you have to kind of make sure you get right. Once you first kind of make that decision or pull the trigger on whatever it is, but these are some of the ones that really is very difficult to go back on and course correct. So again, working ahead on these is so important. So I'm sure these are all things, Tim, that you kind of have, I guess, top of your checklist as you're going through with a new client potentially.
Yeah, well, you know, there's I've got just a couple more. I mean, the first, I'd say one that I haven't spoken about yet is taxes. Right, yeah. We know that we work on a calendar year, January 1 to December 31st. We true up by April 15th that next year based on what happened the year before. But a lot of times with some of the planning that we can do, whether that's maybe converting money to a Roth IRA, funding retirement plans, funding IRAs, you know, a variety of different things that we can do to firm up our retirement position, once that window closes, it's gone, right? And while we're on the topic of taxes again, or the subject of taxes, you know, we've got right now in the tax code under the Trump administration, the Tax Cut Jobs Act, it lowered the federal income tax brackets, okay? Now, the way that it was set up was after 8 years, ironically, which was supposed to be the end of his second term, those tax cuts, what we call sunset, so they revert back to where they were. If we do nothing, then taxes are going up, okay? Now, I think they're going up anyways for other reasons, but so we have this window of opportunity between now and December 31st, 2025 to potentially, you know, pay taxes at the lowest rates that we'll probably see again in our lifetimes, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that can drive taxes up. Again, this is a whole nother episode here, but one, you know, those IRA contributions, those 401k contributions, the potential to convert to Roth IRA, you know, the list goes on and on. Once that tax window closes, it's closed for the year. So you want to make sure that you've at least consciously made those decisions before that window closes. There's one other thing, Ben, when we talk about irreversible financial decisions, I think of this one that's called the 60-day rollover. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, when you get a distribution, let's say you leave a company, a lot of times they roll over the retirement funds into an IRA, or the employee does. In some cases, they do what's called an indirect rollover, where they actually send the check to the employee. And when they do that, they withhold taxes a lot of times. But that employee has 60 days to get the funds into their retirement account. Otherwise, it becomes taxable. It's a big mess. Penalty can apply, pre-59.5, all these things. None of them good, okay? So, you know, if that's a situation, you do get a check like that, then you want to make sure you get that in within 60 days, because once that window closes, you can't go back and say, oh, you know, I got stuck in traffic. Or, you know, oh, it got lost in the mail. Nope. And those are big penalties. Sometimes people borrow money from their IRAs. You can do that, and you can put the money back within 60 days. But again, that's one of those windows. If you don't get it back in time, the amount back, it becomes fully taxable as ordinary income. And if it's before 59.5, that's with penalty, 10% penalty. So these are things that can have a. By the way, I just want to fully disclose: if you take money from your IRA, you can only do that once in a 365-day period. That's not calendar. So if you took you borrowed money from your IRA in September of 2022, you can't do it again until, you know, say October 2023.
Okay.
Okay. Make sure you get it back within that time frame. And before you do any of that, check with your tax advisor and your financial advisor on that. So these are just things in our world that we see where people that are going through the different milestones of their life, it's their first time going through it. And so we like to kind of highlight that ahead of time, some things that they need to prepare for, but also some things that they really need to be cognizant of from a timing perspective, that if they make that mistake, it's like kicking that onside kick with a big lead. They could go from a really good financial position to a really lousy one with a few irreversible financial decisions. So, our job is here to help protect people from that and not only minimize, but hopefully eliminate them the best we can.
Yeah, some great items here to be thinking about and making sure you have a plan for. That's the key, making sure you plan for each of these and get ahead of it before it is too late in an irreversible situation. So, again, you can find our podcast online, retirementpowerplaypodcast.com. If you want to talk to Tim directly, number is 858-459-3937. All right, Tim, I'll make sure to come back with a hockey analogy or story next time through, but I appreciate you taking us through this.
You do you, Ben.
Take care, right, Tim. Buddy. We'll talk soon.
That's it.
The commentary on this podcast reflects the personal opinions, viewpoints, and analyses of Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, DBA Dyer Wealth Management employees making such comment and should not be regarded as a description of advisory services provided by Dyer Wealth Management or performance returns of any Dyer Wealth Management Investments client. The views reflected in the commentary are subject to change at any time without notice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referred for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Dyer Wealth Management provides advisory services through Sage Capital Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Dyer Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. No advice may be rendered by Dyer Wealth Management unless a client service agreement is in place.